Yeah. There we go. I wanted to start it with Happy Rotation just because it feels like a very good vibe song.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I figured I'd just jump into it.
It's the happiest one.
It is the happiest one. It's almost got a little bit of like N64 vibe to it.
Video game was, yeah, the vibe.
Was that the vibe?
Definitely wanted to include that on the album somewhere.
It's 99.1 PLR. This is now. And also CT Live and Local now as well. I do two. I post this to two podcasts. So you guys are getting double the fun.
Sweet.
And I got Mushroom Cloud. I got the Harris brothers, Paul and Russ from Mushroom Cloud. The Mushroom Cloud.
How's it going?
Excuse me.
What's up, guys?
How precious do you guys get about the
less now at the beginning? Probably it really ticked us off, but
really?
It depends on, you know, if it's a really big festival or something and they're booking us and they put Mushroom Cloud on the flyer.
Yeah,
that's fine. If it's a, you know, but
if it's a big, right, if it's Lockin', you're
fine with
Mushroom
Cloud. If it's our friends, we make sure that they say the.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes
sense. It's enforced.
Well, when I spoke to you guys last time, I remember you were saying that the length of your name has been an issue in the past with like festivals and stuff.
Maybe
like that.
Maybe not definitely, but it was like a joke. Yeah, it's like, well, the longer the name, you know, you take up more real estate on the flyer, so the festival might be less inclined to book you.
No, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Well, there's a lot of one word bands out there, which is very enticing, I feel. Want it, you're like, oh, that's easy to say, and remember, it's just one word.
One word, one syllable.
Well, that's it, right? Like, it's got to be snappy. Like, me and Sky were talking before this started how everything needs to be, you know, it needs to be 30 seconds. No, Russ, you said that.
Exactly.
You said that right before.
The attention span.
The shorter, the better.
The shorter, the better.
But then.
I remember, and it was right around, because my old band is called Tracy Joe and the Toads.
Right.
And we started that back when, like, Girl's Name and the Random Animal was like a band template that everyone was using. The Haley Jane and the Primates was big.
Yeah.
Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds, very
true.
Big. You
good
know
formula.
What I mean? And we did. We kind of took that formula. What did you guys do for the name? I know we've talked about this before, but I forgot. How did the name come? Because you guys have been around forever.
Yeah, so the name probably came out in 2011 before our first show, which we actually played with no bass player at all. It was just keys, guitar.
It was just your left hand, right?
I wasn't even on keys then. I was guitar. We had a keyboard player and Russ. But it came out just because the band started in our basement in Cheshire, Connecticut.
Yeah.
And we're living with our parents, and we're very loud, basically, and just kind of trying to figure out what our sound was going to be. We knew we liked electric guitars and loud drums, and it, you know, our parents would say that it sounded like a bomb was going off in the basement. So that, maybe not directly, but that played into you know, and the jam band scene loves mushrooms, so.
Well, right, exactly.
Having that in there helps.
So it is kind of a chicken and egg thing, because I did wonder what came first there. Was it, you know, was it the name or was it the mushrooms? Basically, I'm asking how old you were when you first took mushrooms with this question.
Mushrooms kicked off a lot of things, but the name came after, and wasn't directly related, but definitely plays a part and helps on festival bills.
I 100% accidentally ended up pigeonholing you guys into that. I'm so sorry about that.
It
was the flow of conversation led you into a very druggy answer. So you've got this new album that you're coming out with, and listening to it, I hear a lot of things that make me think of just the general direction that the scene is going in, the jam band scene, I think, in general, and also just in Connecticut. You know, you guys have, we actually opened the show with them Happy Rotation. There we go. But it's one of a couple of transition tunes that you guys have thrown onto this. And so let me, you know, for people who are just listening, you know, setting it up, the Mushroom Cloud, you guys have been, you know, a part of Connecticut music just forever. Paul, you and I actually went to college together. Although
UConn,
we didn't,
yes.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, no. All right, that's right. I went to Eastern. You went to UConn. You were fancy.
Oh, but yeah, I lived right there
in
Willimantic.
Yeah. So we were around each other. And that's back in, I mean, I started in 2005. I know you're a couple years younger than me. But
yeah, it was right after that.
You guys,
Russ and I were up there. I graduated in 2010.
Oh, so did I. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys have been doing this forever. You've got, you know, the band has evolved, members have evolved, and now you've got this new album. And well, you know what? Before I give my thoughts on it, you guys tell me about it. Where did it come from?
So we had been kind of just saying that we wanted to record a third album for a while. Our second album came out in 2017. And we had been writing songs. Our song Mobius had we'd written it kind of right after that first album came out. So we've been playing that for a while, and we always thought that was going to be part of an album.
Yeah.
As we all know, something happened in 2020, so plans were delayed. Things just kind of got messed up, but we're still writing stuff. We released a single that we recorded ourselves, Rocket Science, and we had talked about that. I know we came
I played it. You guys did it the digital way that everyone was doing it in the pandemic, right? Like the Zoom recording
thing. And so at that point, we thought, hey, we could really do like a DIY approach to this. It was really fun. I mixed that one all myself. So this one was DIY as well, but we were able to actually go into a really great home studio. Our friend Sky here is our longtime friend and amazing musician and recording engineer. And he just helped us bring all these songs to life and put it all together. And we just put a lot of thought. We wanted it to be like a full thought out kind of concept album, if you will, so people can listen to it from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And we included Mobius on there, and we thought that that fit in with all the newer songs that that I wrote and we wrote together, and it just has a really good flow to it. So really happy.
Well, it does, and it's I don't want to call it a new concept because it goes back to Dark Side of the Moon, right? Just everything just flowing into each other, and then before that and before that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's cool. And by the way, I just wanted to throw a little bit of background to this whole segment. This is that Rocket Science song that you guys recorded digitally a couple of years ago. But all right. So what, if any, and I know that Mobius is an old song, was the direction of the album, was the message of the album? Did it have an overarching theme that you guys thought about or put any energy to? Paul, what I'm basically asking is, what's up with your shirt? What's going on with the shirt?
Yes,
because before this started, you intimated that the album and the shirt were connected.
So there is a theme. I love science fiction. I love the Twilight Zone. So I wanted to do something kind of, I'd always wanted to name a song Time Enough at Last, which is the classic Twilight Zone episode, season one, Henry Bemis. This is the main character. if you haven't seen it, please watch it. It's an amazing episode, but the basic gist is that, he works at a bank and always wants time to read, but his boss is always nagging him. His wife's always nagging him. And one day he goes into the vault to read, and there's a nuclear explosion, a mushroom cloud, if you will, and he's the last man on Earth. And so I don't want to divulge the entire episode because it's such a good twist.
Gotcha.
But so
it's a very old show. I don't know that you're going to spoil 59. Anything.
No, but I do hope that this album encourages people to go out and watch that episode because I just love it so much. So
God, you know, speaking of Dark Side of the Moon, what you guys should do is you should air that episode behind you when you're playing sometime.
Very smart. Which, by the way, album release party, May 2nd, Friday at Park City Music Hall.
Yes.
So we got Honeydew opening.
Oh, I love those guys.
Local, the boys. So that's going to be a great way to celebrate
love those guys.
An album that's long time, you know, been coming for a long time. We, as Paul said before, you know, our last album, dropped in 2017, so but we've been through a lineup change since then. Our bassist Charlie Mazur at the time ended up moving to California, so you know, we had anticipated releasing music sooner, I think, as we always hope, you know, we were in a transitional period for a while, and then of course the pandemic, so that kind of curtailed our operation from where it was going.
No, but it's good though. You guys are like Tool now. You know what I mean? You guys are just releasing music.
The
you
next
know,
one
every,
will be 12 years.
Every 15 years. It's good.
Yeah, we're perfectionists.
It keeps the people wanting more. So what's the trick to staying together as a band for this long? And you've had lineup changes, as you guys mentioned, but you know, obviously you guys are brothers, you can't get rid of each other. Except of course we look at Oasis and we look at the Black Rose and we see that you can, until the band goes broke and you need more money.
But for real though,
what keeps this engine going? Because it's been 15 years of the Mushroom Cloud.
Yes, we did. Songwriting pretty much began in 2010, around that. Around the time that we were at UConn, that's when we really decided that this was something that we wanted to pursue.
Yeah.
But I, you know, for me, like, it comes down to just, we're all so passionate about making music And that's the bottom line for us, is making good music and art that we love and just laying into that element. You know, it's not, it is for other people, of course, but it's really just music that we love. And being brothers, you know, we're really on the same page, I feel like, especially our playing styles. And we're just, we've been doing it for so long that we have a great flow. I love working with these guys. It's, you know, they're, everyone is super hardworking and just shared goals. You know, we, whatever becomes of this, we used to be super focused on, you know, making it, I guess we'll call it.
Like, yeah.
But the further
Well,
yeah. I mean, and, you know,
there's still time.
The further we go into this journey, the more we realize that maybe making it is, will, you know, redefine itself as time goes on. Yeah. And maybe there will be that, golden pot at the end of the rainbow if we keep pushing ourselves and just laying into what we love. But that's the most important thing, and I think that's what keeps us going after it, is just playing shows for us gives us a ton of joy. We love performing for people. We love writing new music that interests us. So, you know, for me, that's it. It's all very exciting, and it's really fulfilling in that way.
Well, I love seeing you guys do it, because, you know, I mean, I was into it, and I was such a big part of it for so long. And I reached a point where of like critical mass in my own life. You know what I mean? Like, I was getting married. I was, you know, I got married. I had a kid and everything like that. And I was like, damn, I gotta figure something out. And I was so desperate. I think a big part of the reason that I do this now is that I was so desperate to stay in the scene and be a part of that. Does that influence you guys at all? Just like, you know, the family and the community and the not wanting to leave it. Not that the music doesn't, you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong, but
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. Especially since we have a ton of family in Connecticut and in the Black Rock area, and they all come out to see us. And, like you said, we've been doing this for so long. So New Haven, Hartford, Bridgeport, we have such great fans and friends who live there, and so, and other states as well. We've met so many people through this band that's incredible. So that absolutely makes us want to just keep doing it, keep playing shows, playing new places, meeting new people. But it really does come down to just our love of music. We've listened to it and played it our whole lives, and just, you know, picked apart albums and just like wondered, why are these so great? How did they do that? And then now we're doing it ourselves, and it's just, it just feels so right. So, you know, we're going to play as many great shows as we can, but as if we can keep releasing music, keep being creative, I think that's going to be the key to even longer longevity for us, is just to, if we can, you know, keep being inspired to do new stuff and push ourselves, and then I can see no reason to stop.
Well, I saw a serious shift. I don't want to say a shift towards songwriting, because it's not like that wasn't what you guys have been doing in the past. But, you know, like, we're all, you know, about the same age, mid, late for me, 30s. And, you know, when you're younger, you're in the, you know, you're in your 20s, and, you know, the scene in 2012 was all about the 20-minute jam and the 30-minute jam and the 40-fucking-5-minute jam.
Yes.
And it does get exhausting after a little while. So when I first turned this thing on, man, like, you know, I had time enough. The opener of this was the first one that came up for me. And, you know, such a symptom of that era, especially of the jam band scene, was just kind of stuff that goes nowhere, and you don't actually get a hook into the song until so far into it. And like, I couldn't have timed that better. I didn't do that on purpose either, by the way. But like,
you're a pro.
But yeah, like, you guys come out hard with the hook immediately, and then you come in with vocals very shortly after that. Yes. And I heard that, and I was like, okay, like these cats are evolving, and this is like is turning into kind of the thing. But I see that shift in a lot of bands. I saw that shift in Eggy in particular.
Yes.
You know, and they didn't really get, you know, anywhere serious until that shift happened for them.
Right.
Was that an intentional choice for you guys to focus more on that songwriting aspect, or is that just a natural evolution of where you guys have come?
Well, for me, I've always written songs, so I write stuff, you know, I read acoustic songs. I read all sorts of stuff. So I like to have different genres, and this band is such an amazing outlet to do rock and roll and drum and bass and hip hop stuff and funk. And so I'm always just writing songs, and I think, kind of just tying back into the longevity thing, it's like Russ and I have talked so many times. It's like, what are we really doing here? Like, what, because of the lineup changes and stuff, we've had to really reevaluate our goals several times. And we thought that, you know, we love writing songs, and if we can keep doing that, and then kind of going back to that model of, you know, the album tour, then we'll just have something to keep doing. If we can focus on writing quality songs that we really stand behind. So
yeah, sometimes you just got to have something to do.
That's right. This is a good way to fill the time.
Right. We're all just, you know, shorter of breath, one day closer to death. Right. You know, it's
beautiful.
But I also notice, and I just want to skip to the part, like, out of nowhere, just, there we go. Give me a little bit of this at the very end of that.
There you go.
It's Matt Cuddy on guitar.
Dude, Matt's a good dude, too. I was sad.
Amazing guy.
He said that he couldn't make it to this. Oh, man. But, like, that's the bomb. And it's very, if you don't mind me comparing you guys to another Connecticut band, it is very Le Special.
Yes.
It is very Le Special, and I got an Ancient Homies vibe. Their 2020 album, Ancient Homies, because it was so conceptual, and it did have those transition songs. And of course, those boys have always just gotten super fucking heavy just whenever the hell they wanted to.
Yeah.
But I love that, though. And
Thank
I'm not
you,
trying
yes.
to draw comparisons.
No,
or
no,
saying
we
anyone's
love those
biting.
Guys,
it's
and
just...
it definitely is there, and they get super crunchy, and we really wanted to dial in some crunchy tones to give that ominous feel to that last section of the song. So yeah, they were definitely an inspiration. And again, they're great songwriters as well. So I love, you know, that they just keep coming out with albums and new songs. So yeah.
Well, it brought so much of what I've seen, because I've seen you guys live, I mean, at least a dozen times. In fact, I think that's a heavy understatement. it brings so much more of that live feel and that live energy that you guys had, because, you know, I mean, we've got Sky here as well, who put on Alchemy, Alchemy Music Festival a couple of years ago. Really, my highlight of that evening was Mad Cats, of course, Sky. but it was like Timmy with you guys at the end of that night was fucking badass.
That was an incredible
it
night.
Threw down. And I just loved, I don't know, like I felt, obviously, and this is a 5-6 minute song. This is a highly reasonably length song, but I loved getting a combination of like of the energy that I feel from your live shows, you know, with some of the songwriting. It was great, man. It was really great.
Yes, thank you.
That's not a question. That's just me.
That's good.
We did want to capture a real live essence. I feel like Air Raid, it was just three of us, so it was definitely live, but it was kind of, I was just getting into synths and more kind of electronic-y stuff, some like drum pad stuff. This, we wanted to hit some of that as well, but also like wanted to lay down some serious rock songs.
Hell yeah.
Drums, electric guitar, solos. We wanted to really put effort into the solos and thought and... and these songs are, you know, reasonably length, all of them. Some of the interludes are even, you know, pretty short.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll help the Spotify algorithm.
Right. It's all about the algorithm.
That's right.
It's all that matters.
But
now,
they're also, you know, the same thing. If you're in the jam scene, you do want to be able to extend sections. And these songs all have that kind of in it, too. So we can play the song straight through as they're written, or we could, you know, add in a 15-minute jam if we need to, or
You've
transition into other songs. So usually when we write songs, it kind of works out that way because we do love to jam. So
where do you guys see Connecticut music right now? Because you guys have really sort of seen the evolution, at least as far as I have, you know what I mean, from that the mid-2000s era all the way up until right now. Because, I don't know, for me... I'm very much on the outside looking in these days. I'm press now. You know what I mean? Like I rarely get to play the musician role. How have you noticed, bands change, the scene change, and how much of that do you think is, you know, the evolution of the scene itself or just us as people getting older?
Well, interesting question. Right off the bat, I think about how how much New Haven in particular has changed, especially just losing PST. That was a that was a big shift. But
Adam's doing fine.
He's great. But we miss him. We don't see him as much as we
upgraded.
We used to. Yes, exactly.
But we miss that place, and you know, I feel like it has been great in other ways. There's been a massive shift towards Black Rock, and Park City is incredible. You know, obviously, everyone who plays there knows why and feels that they do great for their artists, and it's just a great environment. But yeah, I mean, where it was and where it is, it's hard to say, but it seems like, to me, I feel like there's less bands than there once was.
I agree.
I don't know if that's fully accurate. It's just how I see it, but I think it's just innate in how it just shows you how much more difficult it is to like sustain an operation these days, especially monetarily. Like, that's one thing, you know, being in a band isn't cheap, obviously. And it gets more expensive as you go, and that's that can be tough to realize. You know, you start out like we did, and I'm like, oh, we're just gonna cruise right to the end zone, hopefully. not that naive, but I thought it would be less grueling. And then the deeper you get into it, like many other careers, I'm sure, you know, anything, but especially in art, you know, an artistic endeavor, you realize, well, this is going to take a lot of time and a lot of passion and a lot of money. So I think that can be a deterring factor, but I don't think that's the whole picture. That's just one element of what's going on right now. There's a lot of great things going on in the scene. And I think it's also a lull period might be the start of a new era of rebuilding.
I was wondering if you would say that, because I've noticed that too. But then I just say like, no, dude, you're just almost 40 and you're fucking like and you're being an asshole. You know what I mean? Like it's not. I do. I wonder that. I don't know, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, being in our late 30s, I think age is playing into it a little bit. I mean, some of the bands we started out playing with, I mean, some of those guys were already in their 30s. We were in our 20s. So, you know, obviously some of those bands are going to kind of shift out. But I do see new bands popping up. But I think Russ is right. Maybe not as much. Maybe less people are kind of thinking like this is going to be worth it or something like that. But I have to admit, I kind of have been focusing a lot on our band and getting this album out. And I haven't been able to go out to really be in the scene as much as I'd like to. So,
amen.
I love the scene and I love and the people, and they've always been so receptive to us. So, it's tough to say. I think Russ is right though. A lull might be what's happening for various reasons. Maybe outside of music is affecting the scene as well. But
well, you know what makes me think about that is, you know, and without getting too political, because I don't want to put you or any or anyone who follows you on the spot. But it is a divisive time.
Yes.
And it's a time of a lot of change. And it's a time that historically in societies does tend to create a lot of art, a lot of protest art, a lot of, you know, a lot of resistance music, whether you think that's necessary or not. I do. But
art heals the soul.
I was going to say, you know, I mean, like, do you guys anticipate something like that? And what do you see as like the role of the artist in a time like this that is so all over the place?
Well, that's a good question. Like you said, I mean, being there for the people, whether it's directly on the nose as resistance art or not, I think in a time like this, it's like you said, it's extra necessary. And
I don't think it does have to be on the nose. And I love that phrase that. Yeah.
Or it can be and be just as effective, because different situations call for, you know, like you're not going to listen to metal music all the time, but you know, it'll let out a little rage here and there. So, but then it's back to chill vibes.
That's right.
So maybe, you know, a time and a place for everything, but I think a lot of art is to come out of this period where people are forced to turn inward and reflect on their values and what's happening around them. Which is a lot of stuff going on right now in society. Yeah. A lot. And you know, everyone's got a lot going on in their own lives too. So I think this is, inevitably more of a soul searching period. And like you said, just a lot of new art to be found, new ideas, but, you know, it's, you know, we'll see what happens. Again, just back to playing live shows, even just to touch on that with why it might be more of a lull right now, it's like even just people spending money on going to shows, and that you know, that's an incentive too. It's like, oh, I'm going to start a band so that I can go out and play, because a lot of people are going out to shows. There's a, I mean, not that there isn't an active market and scene, but you know, everything's more expensive, so it just leaves less margin for people.
Remember $5 covers?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
No.
Haven't seen that in a long time.
Definitely
all right.
Not.
Well, listen, you know, I'm going to hard left turn it right now, and because I do want to bring it back to this album, and I want to bring it back to the release party, and I think Sky was telling me something about you guys are giving something away. There's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of audience engagement fun
sure.
happening.
I just want to touch back on one thing, too. I think in a time like this, just to make art is resistant, generally, right? Resilient, just to do it. So
well
I love these guys and the fact that they're sticking with it and doing that, and it'll all come back. So anyway, yeah, May 2nd. Honeydew, Mushroom Cloud album release. So we're releasing vinyl copies of this record. So most of them will be the typical classic black vinyl. We're doing 100, a limited run of 100 orange ones. And if you buy an advance ticket, you'll get entered in a drawing to win one. So buy your ticket anyway. Sweet. We know we're going to see you there. And
Is this like Willy Wonka? Like, is one of them going to be orange? And like,
potentially.
You get the...
And then you get blown up.
I love that.
So much. Right, more or less. Yeah. So anyway, they'll also be available, you know, for sure. But yeah, just 100 of them. So they'll go quick, and it's an opportunity. If you're going to go to the show anyway, or if you're thinking about it, it's an opportunity to get one of these, because we're not going to make any more of them. So.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. No, we're so pumped.
That's right.
First vinyl, the first album. I mean, we love all the music we've written, but this, you know, like we said, it's kind of a concept album. We put a ton of thought into it, a lot of time. So we thought that now's the time. And there was some interest in the vinyls as well. So it's very exciting for us.
Dude, I can't wait. I can't wait to be there, man. Absolutely. And what is the exact release date for the album itself?
That is Friday, March 21st. So 1 week. In a day from now, or
that's
several
right.
hours. It drops at midnight on Friday, March 21st.
I freaking love... Wait. Midnight? Yes, right.
It's
the
so
morning. The
listen,
morning.
I've actually... When I was setting up the release through DistroKid, I was like, wait, is it going to be the next day? Is it going to be 12 a.m. Saturday?
I
really had a...
Which midnight is
I had to contemplate midnight for a while. I was like, okay, no, I think this will work. So, should be Friday.
There is a pre-save for that, so if you're listening and you can go on our Facebook or media and pre-save, that does help us. I've heard on Spotify people pre-save before the release. I think it puts it on your liked songs or saves in a playlist or something. So yeah, that would help us out. Thank you.
I love it. I love it, man. All right. Well, listen, it's midnight, March 21st.
Correct.
Friday morning. But it feels like Thursday night.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that's how we got.
If you're still up from Thursday, you'll hear it. But if you do choose to go to sleep, you'll have to wait till the morning.
Mushroom Cloud. Boys, it's always so great to talk to you guys.
John, thank you.
Yeah, man.
Thanks so much for having us, man.